Blog Talk Radio.
You said it is so.
Amen. 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 I pray that y'all can hear me. And those who know how to get in touch with me, to send me a text, let me know that you can hear me loud and clear. Make sure everything plugged up. Make sure everybody can hear me. I tell you what, I don't know if I need to play that song again. I believe in miracle. I'm telling you, I was over here throwing my hands up, giving God the praise, thanking him for the praise report, the report, the all good report. God is doing good things. He's doing new things. Sometimes we got to rest. Sometimes God will allow our body to rest. We got to rest so he can restore, so he can restore us. Sometimes we got to rest so he can recover, to restore, even to give us new things that our body needs. God sees ahead. God knows what's coming. He already knows the attack coming. So sometimes he will put us in a resting place to rest in him so he can reset, restore, and recover. My God. Oh, my God. So I want to just dedicate that song to all the covenant family. This song, I believe in the miracles, even though if I believe by myself, I know what my Father can do. I believe in the hand of God. So I just want to send this out to the covenant family. I believe the report of the Lord. Who report are you going to believe upon tonight? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I believe what God is saying. I just want to share this. Okay, let me see. I pray y'all can hear me. I want to share this because as I was listening to this song, it brought me to Luke 8:52. This Bible verse right here, when Jesus said, "Don't cry, she not dead, she just asleep." My God, that's what was coming to me as I was listening to this song. I believe, and Jesus told, see, they was kind of marking. We know they marked Jesus. They was marking Jesus. They always marked that Jesus and everything they did, that he did. It was kind of uncommon, unheard of. And I'm telling you, God is going to perform miracles. God is going to release prophecy. God is going to send the nobody. So I'm telling you, you know, I used to be ashamed. You know, I could feel people's spirit when I pray. Well, I could feel people's spirit. They're going to receive me or rejected me. But he said, even though they don't understand what you saying, but I know what you saying. You keep going. You don't supposed to sound like them. You don't supposed to sound like the church folk. You sound the way I have given your voice to sound. But as I was listening to that song, it brought me to Luke 8:52. He told them to stop weeping. Jesus told them to stop crying. Jesus said, and all who weep, those who was weeping, he let them know, weep not. She is not dead, but sleep. She's not dead, she is asleep. They even started mocking, laughing at him when he said that. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. Jesus said, she's not dead. Quit all your weeping and moaning. Now, all the weeping and moaning for her, but he said, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleep. Oh, that's for somebody. I'm telling you, all this week I've been getting phone calls and texts. Pray for my brother. Been rushed to the hospital with COVID. Pray for this family member. They've been rushed to the hospital. Pray for my friend. He's in the hospital. Some on ventilator. But as I was playing this song, it just brought me to this Bible verse, Luke 8:52. Jesus told him in the New King James Version, now all weak and moaning. They was all weeping and moaning for her, but he said, this is Jesus, do not weep, she is not dead but sleep. Oh my God. He's saying, don't weep, don't weep. Do you not believe who I am? I'm God Almighty. I am the beginning. I am the end. I can raise up. I can do whatever I want to do. Is anything impossible for our God? Do you not know the type of God we serve? Even when Jesus told him she's not dead, she just sleep, they laughed at him knowing that she was dead. I tell you something. Some things people are saying, some things when he had used my voice to say things that's uncommon, that unheard of, people begin to laugh. People had begun to laugh because they never experienced it. They never heard nothing like that. They never experienced nothing like that. That stuff you talking about is so impossible. We ain't never heard of Jesus doing that. Well, you know, we see she dead. She's not breathing. She don't have a pulse. Oh, we see this person. The machine is breathing for them. Oh, they don't have no vital sign. Somebody better catch this in the spirit realm. Let me help you out tonight. I done seen people where they was brain dead for more than 45 days. And they husband want to give up on them. And then they went to 60 someday. God raised that person up after being brain dead. That was one person. Tell you about another story. I knew someone was a man that was brain dead. His wife was ready to pull the plug. The wife and the mother was going back and forth, about to have a fight in the hospital. God raised that man up. He was brain dead. So let me tell you tonight, I believe what Jesus told them in Luke 8:52, oh, just stop weeping, stop crying, because she not dead, she just sleep. You can laugh all you want to. You can mark all the real prophets. You can laugh at them. You can mark the intercessor. They laugh at Jesus, so they going to laugh at you. When it seems impossible, when the doctor says nothing else to do, how many testimony have y'all heard on Blacktop when a person was on a ventilator and the doctors gave up because they actually went down to 30%, but God raised them up in a couple of days? How many stories have you heard like that? I done seen some on ventilators, and he raised them up. He raised them up. They can laugh all they want to. They can look all they want to. They can say, I dare her. I dare her to say things that's impossible. I dare him to say things that's impossible. They can laugh at they laugh at Jesus, and they're going to laugh at you. They mark Jesus. They're going to mark you. Because I'm telling you, the revival is going to hit this world like never before. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think even in the book of John saying there was miracles. This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. There was miracles that was not written, that Jesus had performed, that was not written in the book. But I tell you, you about to see some of them miracles, unheard of miracles, uncommon miracles. That is going to blow the doctor's mind. That is going to blow your family member's mind. It's going to happen. That wasn't the first time Jesus then told them that a person was asleep. Jesus didn't even rush. When they say Lazarus, come, Lazarus is dead. He didn't even rush. He took his time. He took his time to get to him. He didn't even rush. I was looking at something. Jesus took his time because Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew if he just spoke a word, it is so. It is written. It's going to go forth. It's going to accomplish what it was sent out to accomplish. He had confidence in himself. He didn't have to beg. He didn't have to keep saying stuff. He say one word and it was so. He say one word and it was so. So Jesus told him. And matter of fact, let me go back to Luke. Let me go back to Luke 8. And when Jesus entered the house, he didn't even allow anyone to go in with him except, I'm going to say it again, when Jesus entered the house, he did not allow anyone to go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child, father, and mother. Sometimes you can't take everybody with you. If you got the type of faith that's going to move mountains, if you got the type of faith that you know your prayers is hitting the ears of God, if you got that type of faith and belief, you can't bring another unbeliever. If you got that type of faith, you can't bring one that don't walk in the faith with you. Earth sharpen earth. You can't just bring everybody along with you. Jesus didn't have everybody to go in the house with him. He only allowed Peter, John, and James. So sometimes he might send you to that hospital in the wee hours of the night at 12 o'clock with nobody going with you. You ain't going to be by yourself because you know there's angels around. Angel, the Holy Spirit's around, and what you need, he gonna already have it there for you. He ain't gonna tell you to go with mama and brothers and sister. He might say get up and go by yourself, or he might say get up and grab sister so and so, and don't grab nobody else. Jesus didn't have no entourage. He didn't allow everybody to go in with him, but except Peter, John, James, the child, father, and mother. Meanwhile, everyone was weeping and moaning for her. Jesus said, stop weeping. She is not dead, but she's asleep. Stop weeping. I know this might sound cruel and this might sound uncommon for you to hear, but Jesus saying, stop weeping in this hour. Stop weeping in this hour and give me the glory. Stop your weeping. Stop your complaining and give me the glory. Start thanking me for raising the dead. Thanking me for raising your son. Thanking me for raising your daughter. Thank me for raising your husband and your wife. Thank me that COVID didn't take them down. Thank me that a heart attack didn't take them out. Thank me that a stroke didn't take them out. Thank me that a blood clot didn't kill them. Start thanking me. Start worshiping me. Start giving me the glory because they not dead. They just asleep. Who am I talking to tonight? Stop weeping and crying when I already didn't answer. It's already a done deal. Stop weeping. Stop crying. I already answered it. I already said, did what I'm going to do. I just need you to do your part. So when people come and say, stop the weeping and crying. Oh, even when Jesus raised people and healed people, the people didn't even give Jesus the glory. They started giving God the glory because they knew where it come from. Because Jesus even told them, I do nothing of myself. As I do nothing of myself, I am here to do the work of my Father. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. I'm get in trouble. My mind gonna get me in trouble. Sometimes prayers are not answered because men want the glory. And nothing belongs to us. Our body don't belong to us. Our spouse don't belong to us. Our children don't belong to us. We don't own this thing. God owned it all because he is the creator. So he get the glory for everything he do in your life. He get the glory. Stop wailing, stop weeping, stop moaning and groaning about things that God is in control, that God didn't already answer. God is a God that answer by fire. He's a God. If you believe, he will answer by fire. And God is not a God that he should lie. He's not even son of man. He's not son of man, that his word is not going to come back to him. He's not going to come back to him void. Sometimes that fire can cause. Sometimes when God answers by fire, it will cause a separation. I'm fit to help y'all out tonight. I'm fit to help you out tonight. Sometimes when God answers the fire, he got to separate. Sometimes he will separate and set apart just for a season. Sometimes person needs that rest. God know what he's doing. He know the perfect time and the perfect season. He know how to put them in the fire, to mold them, to get them ready for what he got, not what you want him to be, not what you want them to be, not what your wife wants you to be, not what your husband wants you to be, not what you want your son to be or your daughter to be. Sometimes God got to separate, and he answered by fire to cause a separation. Instead of part. Oh, what is she talking about? Then Jesus talked these things. They said, what kind of talking is he talking? What kind of parlance is he talking? They didn't even understand. Some of the disciples didn't understand. I said, in this season, even the season to come, you're going to hear uncommon, just like Jesus spoke in parlance. You got people that are going to speak in parlance, and they're going to say, we don't even understand what she said, or we don't even understand what he's saying. But God know what you said. But God doing things to do a separate the step apart. God is doing, he know what he's doing in this season. The fire, suffocation, it is the death of itself. And it will cause some of us to walk in a place of holiness. In Isaiah, he said it very clear in chapter 6, 5 through 7. So I said, woe, it is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. I don't know who was all on here a couple weeks ago. God will go fight the battle. He will go fight for you. Yes, he will. He will fight for you. Even David, he will cry out, they too strong, and I'm paraphrasing the way I know how. They too strong for me, Lord. Fight them. Get them. But then he came back and said, if I'm not doing right, judge me. Well, what you think Isaiah is saying right here when he had the vision? He said, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Somebody gonna catch that. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Will you be honest? You can't go to God and lie. God see everything. But when you, there's a certain cry. You don't know what the person and God, what type of conversation they didn't have. We just don't know. Isaiah said, he was a man with unclean lips, and he was dwelling in the midst of people with unclean lips. He was confessing his sin. Basically, he was judging himself. Before you judge others, you need to judge yourself. You need to get in that secret place that God revealed to you in that mirror who you are. Before you start judging people because they don't sound like you. They don't look like you. They ain't been in the church for 30 years like you. God is a just God, and he's a judge. He's the one that can judge. David, if something in me, judge me, God. Isaiah, I'm a man with unclean lips, and I'm around people of unclean lips. He wants to come to God. Healing. He was crying out for his healing and deliverance. If you want to be delivered and set free, that's the type of cry you're going to cry out for. Lord, deliver me. Set me free. get this unclean lip out of me. I don't want to be like that. Show me myself. Reveal to me what's really in me that's hindering my calling and my walk. When Isaiah beheld the holiness of the Lord, he suddenly became unaware that he was a man of an unclean lip. He was a prophet. He was a prophet. And they considered him as a major prophet. But he confessed his sin. I'm a man with unclean lips. When you confess your sin to God and say, Lord, I don't want this lust in my heart. I don't want to have a lust. I don't want this lust. I don't even want this passion, this certain type of passion. It's not the passion for you. It's a passion for this world. You want to see the hand of God move, let him heal and deliver you from yourself. That's what my title was going to be, the God that answered by fire. But when I started playing that song, the Holy Spirit began to speak in my ear about Luke 8:52. Yeah, they look like, the machine look like, yeah, they look like, yeah, they look like they in a coma. They look like they dead. That's what they look like. He say they, she just sleep. He just sleep. She just sleep. He's not dead. Then when we go to Matthew 26:45, then they returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? This is Jesus talking to the disciple when he was, you know, in the garden praying. Sometimes when the enemy is busy, we can't sleep. God is a God that doesn't sleep or he doesn't slumber. He's not a God that sleeps or slumber. Even the enemy don't sleep or slumber. We can't rest. Sometimes we just can't rest on what the enemy is trying to plot. We risk in the Lord, but when the enemy on the rampage, we got to know there's a time to pray. There's a time to pray. There's a time to be quiet and be still. And there's a time to worship. See, people think prayer is the only way to get God to move. Prayer is not the only way to get the hand of God to move. Sometimes you being quiet and get in that still place, it tells us to wait on God. Wait on God and he will renew your strength. Wait on God. Be a good courage. Wait on God. Sometimes he just want us to wait on him. And while he's in the background already working it out, he just needs you to walk it out. And sometimes he just want us to be quiet and just wait on him while he's lining things up for your good. Because the word in Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for the good. To who? To those who love him. And sometimes he just want us to sit still and wait because it's already done. He didn't heard your prayers the first time because we learned that in the book of Daniel when Daniel went on a 21-day fast. The angel said, as soon as you open your mouth, as soon as you open your mouth, we're down on your knees. God heard you the first time. But I had to, oh my God, somebody better catch it. But I had to go through the Prince of Persia. There was a war going on. There was a battle going on. So sometimes when you're in the scene for your family members and it don't seem like things changing, the book of Daniel tells us that the angel had to tell him, God heard you the first time. But there was a war going on. I had to go through the Prince of Persia. Do you now know where the Prince of Persia is? The Prince of Persia is where the other world, where the fallen angels at. If you don't believe in the fallen angels, you need to get in the word. I had to come down. I was in the presence of God, and his son was to a give you the mention, but when I descended from the heavens where God sits on the throne, I had to go through the Prince of Persia. So when I went to the Prince of Persia, there was a war going on. There was a war. There was a battle going on your behalf, on your prayer. So I was held up for that 21 day. I even had to call Michael, the archangel, to come and release me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Holy Spirit, you are speaking tonight. He told him, God heard you the first time, but I was held up for 21 days. That's why don't give up. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. You don't know there's a war going on. There's a war going on your prayer. There's a war going on for your health. There's a war going on in an unseen realm that you cannot see. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but the principality and power. It letting us know the wicked, things that's not of this world. The angel had to tell Daniel, I was coming. I was coming with your counsel. I was coming, but I was held up. We had the war. We had to go through the place to get here to the earth, to get to him. Don't give up. Do not give up. Daniel, the angel was coming to Daniel with the message, and he's coming. He's going to answer your prayer. He's going to answer. He's going to answer the prayer here on earth as it is in heaven. If his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Either you heal him on this side or he's going to heal him on the other side. Your prayer's still going to be answered. And we never know the prayers of our loved one. We don't know the type of conversation they have with the Father that we don't know. Sometimes our prayers be hailing them up here for a perfect sample. Smith Witherwood, when his wife died, he brought her with the spirit, because you know he operated in the supernatural. He operated in the miracle. Well, the Holy Spirit brought her back, and she said, "Why did you do that? Why did you bring me back? Let me go." Many testimonies were people ready to go. They didn't see glimpse of heaven. They didn't see things, and they don't want to be here. You don't know the type of conversation they are having or what prayers they didn't already pray to the Father. We just don't know. That's between them and God. So I believe in miracles. I believe God can do whatever he wants. He can change his mind. He could change his mind. We know that through Hezekiah. I believe it's Elijah. Elijah, I'm going to have to go look it up. When he gave him the word, get your house in order, because he was going to die. But he went to God himself and prayed and remind God of his obedience. So God added 15 more years to his life. We don't know the prayers our loved one prayed to God. Is they ready to go? Or you just don't know. It take me. Keep my son or keep my daughter. You just don't know. We just don't know. We got to trust the will of God. Let his will be done. His will be done. His will be done. Okay. Yep, I pulled it up. Daniel. If you go to Daniel chapter 10, when the angel came to Daniel with a message, he told him. He said, "Daniel, you are highly respected. Pay attention to my word. Stand up, because I have been sent to you." When he said this to me, I stood up trembling. He told me, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. God heard everything that you said, even since the first day. Since the first day, God hears our prayers when, well, he's going to hear the prayers of the righteous one. Sometimes people, when they get in trouble, they don't even like God. They don't even want to pray to God, only when they get in trouble. But did you not hear what he just said? You are highly respected. I can answer some of our prayers so quick like a light. Real quick. I have seen him answer prayers real quickly. So don't be afraid, Daniel. God has heard everything that you said, even since the first day you decided to humble yourself in front of your God so that you could learn to understand things. I have came in response to your prayers. Y'all think angels don't come into the response of your prayers? It's in the book. Open the book. Read the book. I came in the response to your prayer. The commander the commander of the Persian king opposed me for 21 days. But then Michael, one of the chief commanders, came to help me because I was left alone with the king of Persia. This angel came by himself, but he had to war for 21 days. I came to explain to you what would happen to your people in the last days because the vision is about the times still to come. Read it for yourself. It's in the book. God heard us the first time we open our mouth. But there's a battle. There's time when I'm in prayer. And when you open your mouth and God begin to open your spiritual ears and your spiritual eye, you can receive the battle between the angel of light and the angel of dark. You will be able to hear the weapons going out in the spirit realm. They are warring on your behalf. They are warring on your loved ones. When you open your mouth, there is a war that you cannot see in the spirit realm. And Daniel let us know in Daniel chapter 10. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because I'm telling you, that's what I heard. When you are interceding for someone that the enemy, death could not hold Jesus down. So if death could not hold Jesus down, death cannot hold you down. God, Jesus had defeated death. And guess what? Jesus ain't going to die again. Jesus died a second time. He defeated death. He went to hell and took the keys. Everything your Holy Spirit speak to you about, he's going to back it up with the Bible verse. He's going to back it up. Just tonight, I was praying for a man of God with this woman of God. And I'm like, there's a battle going on in the spirit realm. I can hear it. It's a battle going on for his life. But tonight, the Holy Spirit just revealed the book of Daniel to me tonight. I come on here to talk about something else. See how you loud the Holy Spirit. If you say this is G-O-D radio, when you say Holy Spirit, come on and have your way. I didn't even get the chance to say welcome. This is Sister LaShawn for Texas. Because when you play worship music and you caught up in worship and you giving him the praise and you thanking him, by the time you come on, the Holy Spirit still up on you and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you. That's why I say you have your way. This ain't my radio station. This is your radio station. You come on and have your way. I get my flesh out the way. I get myself out the way. You speak to the people. You know what they need. You know what, before anyone called in on this line, you already know what they need before they pick up the phone. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, if he comes to some of you and he say, well, can I minister today? Can I take over the pulpit? Well, will you let Jesus take over the pulpit? Because what the Holy Spirit revealed to me, he has said that to some of these pastors and preachers, and they wouldn't even let the Holy Spirit of Jesus come in and have his way. My God, this is G.O.D. radio station. And people that come on here, like I said, if it come out, sometimes it just come out my mouth, and I just can't control it. That's Jeremiah. It comes out like fire shot up in your body. Jesus, Father, show me that I didn't even ask him, can I take over? Can my spirit take over? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost fire. They so caught up in they self. They so caught up in pride. They so caught up in tradition and religion. They weren't even loud. Jesus is the church, people. Jesus is the church. We are the body. We are the body, one body. But he's the church. He's the head. He is the Bible. We are the body. You know, how can the eye tell the mouth what to say? How can the eye tell the hand what to say? Oh, how can, you know, if the body broke up, there's no building. If the body broke up, it ain't lining up with the word of God. If the body keeps figuring and going back because this person don't look like you, sound like you, because they country, or you've been in the church for 30, 40 years, but you don't realize God is raising up. God said, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this rock I will build my church. I do the building and I do the turn down. But you so caught up because you've been in the church for 30, 40 years. So you, do you not know that God is using babies to prophesy? Do you not know that God is putting the fire in these babies? I'm talking about as early as 3 years old, giving word, praying, speaking, know how to pray, know how to intercede. So if a child, there's plenty of time, a child, 7 years old, came and gave me a word and I did not reject it. I said this the other day. It's not the people that's in the street. When God sent us to the street, it's not the people in the street rejecting us. It's the people that's in the building. It's the lukewarm and carnal mind people that's in the building. That's where we get the most problem from. It's the people that's in the building. Woe unto you. I have been now feeding homeless, and when you try to give them a body, they back up. When you try to give them a Bible, they back up. I'm not touching that. I ain't touching that. Nah, I don't want that. They ain't for the play. They'll let you know they not for the play. Can I pray for you? They want money. Can I pray? No, no. They'll try to hurry up, get from around you. They don't play. But it's the people that's in the building. Play with God more than the people in the street. I've seen it from my own eyes. And it was a season that the Holy Spirit was having me to say, didn't understand at the time, but I know, stop playing with God. Stop playing with God. That was the lawn that was going out. Stop playing with God. Now, you know, now it takes me real quick. Why I'm saying, like I said, sometimes he take over your mouth. Why am I saying stop playing with God? Because that's exactly what they were doing. Laying hands on you, praying over you, and they messed up themselves. I ain't just what was going on. God answered by fire. He answered by fire. His word is like fire. He's the consuming fire. He's the blazing fire. He sent the angel with the sword of fire. He sent the angel to give you a word of fire. I have witnessed and felt the fire when they whisper words in my ear. My ears is burning up like fire because they're around the throne of fire. No, the reason why your ears burning up because there's a war going on. In verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah heard a voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who shall I send? Who shall I send to go get that prostitute? Who can I send? Who shall I send to go lay hands on the sick and have that much faith that if they got cancer, if they got tomb on side of their face, that they lay hand and the tomb begin to dry up? Who can I send? Who can I send to go in the crack house? Who can I send to go into the White House and speak, thus said the Lord, without compromise? Who can I send to go into these mega churches and say exactly what thus said the Lord? Who can I send the truth to teach my word, word from word, and sugarcoat it and not water it down? Who can I send? Who can I send? And who would go for us? Then Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Can God get a yes from you? Can God get a yes from you? Can God get that same thing that Isaiah said, oh, here I am, send me. Send me to the crack house. Send me out there to feed the homeless. I don't have to wait on nobody. Send me. Send me. I'm telling you, there was time when we had three people feeding over 120-some homeless people, over 150 homeless people, where it was three or four people out there. It was three or four people where I took my own income. I was not getting nothing from nobody. And then those who want to donate, they donate. But it was, I decided to go. Who can I send them when COVID go? My God, my God, my God. Who can I send when the churches are down and when all the food places are down and my people need to be fed? Who can I send to go out there and feed 150 people that don't have no income? But you say, yes, Lord, I do it. I do it even though it is COVID. I do it, send me. These people ain't getting no meal because they shutting it down. The churches ain't going out there feeding them because they walking in fear. Who can I send? I do it, Lord. Send me. I'm not even working. I done lost my job. But I don't know how you do it. I don't even got transportation. But send me, Lord. I will go out there and feed them. Who can I send? Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Then go back to the yes. And go to God. Years of preparation. All the years of suffering. All the years of talk about, all the years of you being humiliated because they trying to figure out what's wrong with you. Your husband left you. You done lost your car. You done lost your job. How can somebody go out there and feed over 150 people? How? That ain't nothing but the hand of God. That ain't nothing but the fire of God. He did it. LaShawn couldn't do it on her own. He did it. When God is a consuming fire, God is a God that answers by fire. He sent angels to go and make the crooked place straight. He sent angels to go to get what we need. This don't happen overnight. God will bless you even in the famine. God will bless you even in the pledge. What's a greater time for God to raise the dead in such a time like this when the world, I hear on the news, They telling us, you might well get ready, because everybody going to have COVID. The devil is a lie. I'm going to rebuke that. They saying everybody going to have COVID. You might well get used to it. The devil is a lie. You're not going to speak that death curse word over me and my family. Who can I send to stand on my word and declare and decree my word? They're going to believe in my word. They're going to speak to the virus. You heard about John G. Lake, how he put the virus in his hand with nothing and it died. You heard about Steve Smith with the word did, but you ain't seen nothing yet. Either you gonna believe my word or you not gonna believe my word. Either you gonna stand on my word or you not gonna stand on my word. When people believe the word, when people have seen the hand of God, when people have witnessed the hand of God, matter of fact, when people have seen the glory of God, they is at peace. Let me help you out. When people have witnessed the glory of God and seen the hand of God, they at peace when they pray. They ain't finna be worried, up and worried. They ain't finna be stressed out because they know God. They know his, they know how he operates. They know who he is. They gonna have a peace up in them. They ain't gonna be worrying about nothing. They done been through some, seen things, and they seen him perform miracles. They have seen him raise the dead. They gonna have a peace about it. When he say pray, pray. If he say be quiet, be quiet. If he say be still, be still. If he say worship, sometimes you just need to worship. Sometimes, see, people are missing it. People are missing it so much they out of order. When God say get up and clap your hands and stomp your feet, you better clap your hands and stomp your feet like something is wrong with you. You better do like David did. His wife and everybody thought he was crazy. And she was trying to get David to say something out of line with God. Oh, you better understand tonight. When God just said, I don't need you to do nothing but clap your hand. And he said, you clap your hand. Do you not know your hand is a weapon? Do you not know the enemy don't like when you clap your hand? Do you not know that the enemy don't like that? If he say stomp your feet, you better stomp your feet, because sometimes when he say I put peace in your feet, if he say I got my word is like a lamp unto your feet, the shoes of gospel of peace, do you not know sometimes when you stomp your feet, the earth will shake? Do you not know when you stomp your feet, it will open up the ground and swallow everything around you? Oh, this sounds too crazy. I ain't never heard what she's talking about, but I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you it's real. I'm trying to tell you it's real. You got weapons with your hand. You got weapons with your feet. Oh, somebody on here don't believe me. So when he say worship me, I don't care. You might not know how to sing, but you better open your mouth and say thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, because you seen the enemy trying to come in like a flood, but you lift that standard. Oh, thank you, Father God, that when I had turned left, when I want to turn left, you had me turning right, because that was an accident coming my way to the left. Oh, Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Father God, that you told me to get out the car and walk around my son's campus three times because there was a shooting coming. Oh, Father God, I thank you that you gave me dreams and visions to see school shooting, to see store shooting, and told me to pray. I thank you, God, that you saved my husband's life. I thank you, God, that you risen the dead in my family. I thank you, God. You better learn how to pray. You better learn how to clap your hand and praise him. You better learn how to be still when he said be still, because it's already done. I heard you the first time. Only thing I need you to relax and be still. Only thing I need right now to get up and clap. Do you not know when two or more come together and clap their hands and praise, you are born heaven. You are, it's like a mighty rush of wind. Oh, like a tidal wave. Oh, know he don't like when you make noise. Thank you, Father God. Oh, I trust you, Father God. Thank you. I thank you for the life of my son. I thank you for the life of my husband. I thank you, you are God Almighty. I thank you that your word don't come back void. I thank you, Father God, even though my husband, even though my wife, they're in a situation where they at. But I'm going to thank you for the one that's next to them. I thank you, you're going to raise that one up. I thank you for even going down the street from Parkland Hospital, raising that kid up. I thank you, Father God, that the bullet of the gun did not take my daughter out. I thank you, Father God, that their car wreck didn't kill her. I thank you, Father God, that they did not lose their mind. Oh, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the bad time. I thank you that I had to go through the bed of affliction. I thank you for the pleasure, because if I thank you for this pleasure, I know you're going to bring me out. I thank you, Father God, that when the enemy tried to tell come in and make my heart stop. Oh, you said not so, and you made my heart pump. I thank you, Father God, that you gave me food when I didn't have food. I thank you, Father God, that you healed my body when you told me to rest. Who am I talking to tonight? I thank you, God, because who you are. I thank you, God. If the angel can bow down and praise you day and night, holy, 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 why can I not get on my knees? Why can I lift my voice? Why I can't give you the praise? My God, who am I talking to tonight? Sometimes you got to laugh, and people think something wrong with people. When God told me about 2 years ago he was going to take my grandmama, he said, when the Holy Spirit revealed to me, and also the Spirit came and told me that one of my family members, mine, that the enemy was going to mess with mind, and I began to pray 2 years ago. But so when it happened this year, and when we went to my auntie house, I didn't even need to go in the room where my grandmama at. Soon as I hit the door, the Holy Spirit came up on me and say, start praying for suicide, because you got a family member is going to try to check out. The enemy is going to cause one of your members to commit suicide, and I got to do what thus said the Lord. I got to open my mouth and go to war, and if you ain't going to war with me, you need to get out my way, because when I open my mouth and begin to war, I don't need you in my way. I don't need you to hinder me, because I see what's going on. I hear the enemy voice, and I need to go to war. I need to go to war. My family were looking at me like something is wrong with this woman. Half of the stuff, I don't even know what I said. But I remember the Holy Spirit telling me there were a couple of your family that the enemy was trying to take out this year. It was a couple of your family that the enemy was trying to take their life this year. Oh, y'all don't hear me tonight. But the prayers of the righteous one. And he began to show me which one. If I tell you some of the testimony, you ain't gonna believe me. Let me help you out. I guess I will tell you one of them. I got a little cousin. I'm trying to help you out. See, stuff that I tell people, they want to say, that's weird, they crazy. And don't you know some people don't believe it? But oh well, I had a cousin driving from Texas to California with three kids in the car, three kids. And I even told my mama when I seen her, something is not right with her. I need to pray for my cousin, because something ain't right with her. I see the demonic on her. I see what the enemy trying to do. I see it. He's trying to take her out. And she drove her from here going to California to meet some guy. But along the way, the police were getting ready to pull her over. She took out on a police chase. This is my cousin. And she had three kids in the car. She went on a police chase. It was to the point they had to put spikes in the road to stop her. She ran into a grocery store and got out the car. Y'all better, I don't have shame in my game. This is a testimony. And she got out the car and said, Black Lives Matter, and started shooting. on up. Oh, y'all better understand tonight. Y'all better hear what the Spirit of the Living God is saying to you tonight. Three kids in the car shooting at the police. Not one shot back at her. And the Holy Spirit remind me, your prayers, you better understand how one person pray or when two people pray. Oh, it released those angels. I'm finna show you something else. They wanted her to play crazy so she can get out. I specifically told my auntie, do not have her to pray crazy, because I went into prayer again, and this is what the Holy Spirit told me. It was because of the prayer. You pray for some of your family member. They should have been dead, but you pray for your family. Her same brother got hit by a car. Huh, y'all don't hear me tonight. Your prayers. That's why sometimes the enemy try to take you out. That's why your body get so beat down, because there's somebody that's a power when they pray. Don't you have her pray crazy? Because the Holy Spirit, I'm going to show you how prayer works. She's going to be released from jail. She ain't going to stay in there. They're going to release her. And it's going to shock your family member. Huh? Y'all better hear what I'm telling you tonight about prayer. That's why you better be careful who you put your mouth on. You better be careful who you coming against. I done been places where debt was holding people down. My dad, debt was holding him down. My God, I don't know why I'm sharing this tonight. I know what my father can do. I know what he can do. And I believe in the I believe in the impossible. I believe even when I got a word, you know what? It's not your faith. It's the people around you, your faith. That's what a prophet told me. It ain't your faith. It's the people around you, your faith. When you tell something, they just can't believe what you say. It's unheard of. It's just uncommon. You laugh all you want. You can mark all you want to. I'm telling you what I seen for myself. And I ain't the only one. There's many out there. There's plenty of people out there. You want the hand of God to move in your life? You examine yourself. Just like Elijah said, I'm a man with unclean lips. You want the fire of God to come into your life, it's going to take some pruning. It's going to take some rebuking. It's going to take some healing and deliverance. It's going to take, God got to shine that light on you on the inside. It's going to take the hand of the Lord to clean you up, to prepare you for preparation. Sometimes we got to rest, and if rest is the sick bed, is rest is in a coma, is rest is on a ventilator to get you to a place to prepare you, to protect you. Oh, somebody ain't hearing me tonight. Sometimes he got to protect you for what's coming your way. Sometimes he got to remold you. Sometimes he got to bring you in the fire. Sometimes he got to let you lay in your mess. You got to go do some suffocation. Because if you don't go through the suffocation, if you don't go through the cancer, if you don't go with putting ventilator down your throat, how, see, anytime something come up on your body like that, cancer and all these people that been in the bed of affliction or perish and God raised them, they are calling the healing and deliverance. They are called in the healing and delivering ministry. And sometimes us can be out of order. We ain't in our right calling. How you gonna heal somebody if you ain't never went through it? How you gonna deliver somebody if you ain't never been delivered? I can't go in the crack car and try to go, you know, I can pray for him and I can command the angel to leave, but better person he gonna use is somebody that was out there in the street. I don't know nothing about smoking no crack. I don't know nothing about that. But he gonna use somebody that knew was out there. He gonna use that prostitute that was out there. He gonna use that person that was in those type of places to go back to do delivery, to bring them closer to God. God don't make no mistake, y'all. You better understand when Luke said, when he told them in Luke, stop weeping. Stop. You weeping and moaning. She just, stop crying. She's not dead, but she's asleep. And they laughed at him. Well, they laughed at Jesus, and they're going to laugh at you. God, I thank you for this word. I can go on and on with some more stuff, but I want to go ahead and start taking callers because I have to get up in the morning. I'm doing a 5K run tomorrow. Well, I'm telling y'all, I'm fucking y'all. Y'all keep me in your prayer. But Father God, I thank you for this word. Father God, as I begin to take callers, Father God, I just ask that you come on and have your way. Father God, like I say, I decrease, you can increase. Father God, you know what your people need before they even call. So Father God, God is the prophet. He is the word. God is the word. If you want a word, get in the word. He is the word. It let us know in the book of John, in the beginning was the word. So, you know, get with God. Sometimes God wants you to come search him and get the answer for him. But prayer, always, we can always pray for you. Now, if he got a word from you, he'll speak. But we'll pray. I'm going to go ahead and move on to the callers. 205-531. This is Who is this again?
Judy May from Alabama.
Hey, what? Baby Judy. Now, look here, y'all. I don't know if the lady that I was talking to is on here listening. We were talking about you today. We were talking about you today.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling somebody about your daughter. How you called in that Friday when she was on the ventilator.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave you a word that he was going to do a miracle with your daughter.
Oh,
he was going to do a miracle with your daughter. And it was going to shock them daughter. And how we spoke, how the Holy Spirit spoke, she was going to get up and walk. I don't know if this woman on here tonight, we were just talking about you today.
Oh, yes, he done a miracle with him.
Because the pastor at the church I was attending, he got COVID. Remind me of your daughter.
Mm.
He got double pneumonia.
Yes.
They was going to release him. Getting ready to release him the other day, and he took a turn. He ended up getting double pneumonia, and they put him on the ventilator. And they've been praying. And I talked about your I say people on their radio. It's getting miracles. This lady, her daughter named Jennifer. I remember when she called him. How they even tried to sedate her 3 times, and she kept waking up.
Oh yeah.
And look, and here you go call tonight. I'm telling you, look God, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they was amazing, Jennifer. Like I said, she had the COVID. She had double pneumonia, both of them, and she had 30% oxygen. And the doctor said, I do not know how she is alert, no more than how she walking. He said, I don't know how she doing it. They traveled 3 hours to bring that oxygen level up.
Mm-hmm. And see, I did tell them about 30-40% options that she had.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even when they were trying to knock her out. Right. Go ahead and tell it. I'm going to let you tell it. Go ahead.
Yeah, she had 30% oxygen, and they tried. They put the oxygen up her nose. It didn't work. And they put a mask on her. That still didn't work. Because they allowed me to stay in the emergency with her. And the doctor told me to talk to her, and I was telling her everything that she had. I looked at her chart and I told her she had COVID before she got there. She went halfway breathing. She was She was just moaning. And the doctor, he said, I'm sorry. He said, but I'm going to have to put her on a ventilator. So they came in there and they put the mask, but then they hooked the mask to the machine to help her breathe. Because he said, she can't last like this. So she's doing 51 breaths a minute, she said. He said, with that, she's just like a 2-month-old baby. But once they hooked her up in 3 minutes, she went from 30% oxygen to 93% that fast. And the doctor said, wait a minute. He went to the machine, and he was a young doctor. He was beating that machine. I realized he was trying to lower her oxygen level to see if her oxygen go down. And it wouldn't. He said, okay, so he left. And so, you know, she was laying, and I told the nurse, I said, she's going to wake up. He said, no, she's not. I said, yes, she is. I said, you got to be quiet. I said, matter of fact, she over there moving that because she feels something in her throat. He turned around and looked at me. He said, baby, don't do that. He knocked her out. And so then he looked at me, and he said, did I see that girl leg move? I said, yeah. He said, baby, uh-uh. He knocked out again. And then he was doing something. He looked, he stopped. He said, uh-uh. He said, don't do it. He knocked out again. Well, the machine kept beeping. I said, well, if they turn the machine down, she would be quiet and she wouldn't wake up. So the doctor came and said, somebody woke up about 30 times. And I was paying a little attention. And then he said, the nurse told him, said, I had to put her back down 3 times. He said, what? He said, oh, we got something when she go upstairs. Couldn't believe, but I didn't realize that the machine was beeping, was telling them she was coming back out of the coma, because, you know, they induced her a coma. They gave her the medicine because I was there, but they got in front of me, and I was trying to be nosy, and I was peeping at the machine, and I could see the x-ray of her lung. She had some of the spots on her lung, and the nurse was talking. I guess she was just talking to keep me from looking at them, and I told her, I said, you have to be careful how you move her, because she has a steel rod on her back because she has scoliosis. She said, oh, yeah, I saw that. Well, she said, that thing's straight. So I looked on the image, the x-ray machine. I could see it myself. I said, yeah, she's a little straight. And so then when they moved back, you know, they had put her tubes on her throat, and then they left out. And I saw that she was laying there like she was asleep, just like a lady. She was so peaceful. So she was tired. She was tired. Mm-hmm. But before we got to the hospital, she started going down. I was talking to her, and she was just talking. She was looking. And I looked off, was almost at the hospital. When I looked up, her eyes started closing, her head went down. And I hollered, I said, jump. I said, look at that man over there. And she looked. But she fought me going in the hospital. And they were just looking at her. So I guess she's about 4'11". She looked like a child. She looked like she's 40 years old. And so I guess they was wondering why I was almost trying to drag off the car. I actually drove off the car and had to pull it and push her in the mirror. And they said, why she doing it? Because she didn't want to go.
Right.
And the doctor saw, he said, He said, I don't know how this girl alert like this. So she went in there, and he told me, the woman was taking her bath, and she looked like she was coming out again. And I told him, I said, she's coming out. I said, you got to keep her quiet. I said, talk to her. I said, tell her. I said, my friend said, she said, Julia, she said, I don't even know if Jennifer can fight, because Jennifer has intellectual disability. She's four, she's funky. Like a 2-year-old, a more young. And the nurse, and I call her every day to check on this, and that girl's a fighter. And she up here, and said, she's fighting, because she ended up, they had to do a trachea because she aspirated on her. And other nurse told me, he said, we lost her. He said, but we had to put some drugs in her to get them back open. So they put the trachea in, and then they had to do a line for tube feed, and then later on, I learned she had septic. She got that too, so they told me had to give a lot of. So that's blood poison. So she went through some, and then my friend called. She said, "Do y'all talking?" She said, "I asked the Lord if Jennifer know how to fight." He said, "Yes." He said, "I'm fighting with her, and I know he fought with her." So she went through some, and she was sitting there in the COVID ward. After they told me, they said she going to the COVID ward. I said, "Yes." She said, you know everybody up there got the COVID. I said, yeah. That was the nurse asking. She said, okay, now you go through them doors and go get tested, because she said, you got it too. I had it, but I didn't know it because mine was much milder than hers. We did have some of the same symptoms. I thought I have a problem with sinus and bronchitis. Mm-hmm. So I called my doctor, but I had it in March, and this was in August. And the nurse heard me. She said, "Ooh, you sound bad." She said, "I'm gonna send you something because," she said, "I know your case. You have a lot. You have problem bronchitis in January and February." And so she said, "Well, I'm gonna send you a Z pad and some antibiotics." And that's what they done. And so that's how they treated me. I tested. I came out negative. My son came out negative because he's in the house. But you know, I did have body chills, real bad body chills. And from 12 to 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when it happened. I was hurt. My bone hurt so bad. I hurt so bad. My friend Sylvia told me I had to get a heating pad. I had to lay on it. I hurt one bad one morning. I told the doctor, "Please take this." I said, "God, please take this pain away." I couldn't take it. I could feel it. The bones of my hand, they were hurting so bad. He didn't stop the pain. He put me to sleep. I woke up to the best sleep I ever had.
Come on, man.
But, yeah, you know, that. And, but like I said, and then it, like I said, this only happened between 12 and 2. And then everything happened was at night. I couldn't sleep. My heart was racing. I was burning up from my head to my toe, all on the left side of my body. I was burning up. I had no fever. Blood pressure was perfect. And I called Sylvia. I said, "I can't take that. I said, I can't go to the hospital." I said, "You got to pray for me." And she said, "You sound like you got a sinus." So she prayed, and as she prayed, God cooled my body from my head all the way down. When she said, "Amen," my foot went cold. She said, "How you feel?" I said, "The whole while you prayed, my body cooled all the way down." The next night, it was just strange. And I had her nurse. She came. She said, "I had it too." She said, "Yes, between 12 and 2, that's when your body ached." And another, I was telling somebody when we got to get the shot, and this man said, "My friend said that happened." He said, "I never heard it before. Nobody," they looked at me. The nurse said, "At 30%, said she didn't put me alert." The nurse, "I've been a nurse for 43 years. She said, "I ain't never heard of that." And the sinus, when I went to another nurse, when she had to go for the tube, the ear, nose, and throat, that nurse, she had chill bumps when I told her. She said, "Gee, I've been a nurse 40 years. She said, "I ain't never heard of that before. 30% off." She said, "Mm-mm. They get in and pull the alert." And she passed all the tests. She was walking and talking. They couldn't believe it. She was eating with the trach in. They said, they couldn't believe it. They said, "What?" They said, "She can eat." I said, "Ooh." They said, "Can she talk?" I said, "Yeah, she can talk." She had a bed saw. They did a swallowing test. The doctor looked, he said, "Oh, she's good to go." And the nurse came and looked, she said, "Ma'am, I ain't seen a swallowing test that good in 10 years. She said, "She's swallowing with a tube down her throat." She came home, she was on a nebulizer. I had to do the suction. I had a tube feeder. She had a breathing treatment. She's in a hospital bed. I had to get a Hoyer to lift out the bed because she couldn't walk because she's in the bed from August 6th, she didn't come on to September 24th. So she was weak in the wheelchair, had tried to get in there, and, you know, and every time she went back, they couldn't believe it, you know. They said, "Uh-uh."
Mm-hmm.
They said, she did what? Yeah.
So, I'm telling you, I was just telling talking about, and you ain't called in on Friday PGN for a while, and here you go.
Yeah.
I tell you, this was for, this needs to be, because I was just telling, I told two people about your testimony. Even about your daughter was on dialysis, and he healed her from the dialysis.
Yes, she had that. Yeah, she was only 2.5 months, because the doctor said, I had 1 3 months come off of dialysis. But he said, her kidney's not gone. He said, but I don't know when they're going to come back. And after 2.5 months, I went there and said, okay, we finished after 2 hours. I said, well, we're not going to do 4 hours today. And they said, you don't understand what I'm saying. I said, I said, you said we finished for today. She said, no. She's finished. And they said, her number came back from down faster than ever seen. They never seen my number come back that fast. She, you know, she had kidney failure, heat stroke, and her white cell. Her blood pressure was so low, puff, they couldn't even find it. That means I knew the girl ain't dead. They did a sonogram. They still couldn't find it. That's how weak it was.
Miracles.
Yeah.
This is what you call a miracle.
That's
and when
miracle.
God spoke miracles and said she's going to be getting up and walk, ain't that not what he did?
She showed him. Physical therapy came and said, we come to see John for some of, I said, that she was standing in the door. He said, what? He looked at, he said, she walked? I said, She said, "Ain't nothing I can do." And the speech came. She said, "I can't help her. She's doing everything I'm finna teach her." She said she talked the same with the two open, with the closed. So she didn't get speech. She didn't get physical therapy. They had her walking. She said, "Oh, she's good to go." So they canceled the nurse, you know, come, but, you know, they just looked at her and said, uh-uh. They couldn't believe, you know, every time she'd go back to the doctor and different stuff, how stuff was changing and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that man asked me, he saw me the doctor, and he said, "What happened to that little girl?" He thought she was a little girl. He said, "She don't come to dialysis no more." I said, "No, her kidneys came back from." He said, "What?" You know, we had to do a checkup for kidney. That's when he released. He said, "If you have any problem, come back." Dr. Glaze told me, and the man actually said, "Why the little girl don't come no more?" I said, "She's a grown woman. This is a little girl. She's 26 years old." But another lady said, "Can I ask you her age?" She said, "I thought she's 16. I said, "Oh, no, she's 26. He said, "Oh, I wonder why they send a child out." I said, "It's not a child. She's just short. She just, she, you know, look young for age." But that man asked me, he said, "Why that child, why she don't come no more?" I said, "She got, you know, she don't have 100%, it's more 70 plus, but hey, they came back." And another miracle, she used the bathroom with Dallas urine, and she didn't post it. I didn't know. And so she was in the bathroom, and the lady said, "What's wrong?" Because she's trying to get off the machine. I said, "She want to go to the bathroom." She said, "Oh, she don't need to go. She ain't going to do nothing." I said, "She went to the bathroom before she got here." She said, "Huh?" I said, "Well, I was going to the bathroom before she get here." She said, "She don't want to do that." I said, "Oh, I didn't know that." They said, "She go home and rest." I said, "Rest for what?" They said, "You know she be tired." I said, "She does?" "Oh," I said, "we leave here and go shopping and go to McDonald's." You know, I didn't know. So God taking care of, you know, hey. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, yeah, thank you for sharing that because, you know, that's for somebody to hear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, somebody else's testimony can help you and you know, encourage you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Some people come on, they want to get, you know, I understand people want prayer, but I wanted her to share that because I was telling two people about this. Okay. People with their dad. Their dad had cancer. Yeah. Their dad, somebody calling from California, dad had cancer. Don't got no trace of cancer no more.
Oh, yeah. And he'll give you
Regina's daddy had cancer. Her mom was in the hospital. Oh. And they up in age, and they both doing fine.
Thank God.
No and trace of cancer.
Peace? Oh, yes. He'll give you, because I had peace of hope. I never thought about where she was at while she was up there in the COVID ward. It never fazed me. I went to her room. I had cleaned everything out, washed it down, and prepared, you know, for the hospital bed. I never thought once that she would end up there in a COVID ward. And then even that, she was in the COVID looking at TV. She woke up.
And I thank you for the confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to give you peace. You know what I'm saying? When people know and they seen God perform them type of miracles, you're going to have a peace. She's going to say, "Rest, I got this. What you got?" I heard you the first time, Red.
Yes.
I heard you. People could be thousand people praying. God heard every thousand of people praying.
Yes,
and now you take your rest, and I heard you.
Oh,
my will is done now. I got this in my hand. You going to have a peace about you. You going to have a peace about
you. I had a peace. I told my friend, I had a peace. I said, I sit on the porch and cross my leg. I ain't thought about the COVID. I didn't think now day my child was in the cold. When I talked to the doctor, they were telling me what she was doing, this and that. And they were saying she probably had to go for long care. And they wanted to put her in a facility because they said she got to have 24-hour care. I said, "I can't do it." I said, "I'm by myself." They said, "Got to be two people in the house." I said, "There's nobody here but me and my son," but he had left. When he worked, and he'd be out of town. They said, "No, that ain't going to work." They said, "We can put it in Birmingham and Alabama. Either she can go to Georgia." I said, "Well, go ahead and do Alabama." And I told my son, I said, "Well, I already gave him the okay. If she had to go long-term to put in there until they can get her." So she got her 24. So she left one hospital and went to a temporary to see if they could get off the machine. And that's what they did. And, you know, they finally allowed me to go there, which she didn't know me. She hadn't seen me in a month. She didn't know who I was. I walked in the room. She just looked at me. She was trying to show me the TV, and I just, oh, you're looking at TV. And so I just talked to her. Then I said, Jennifer. And then she looked at me. She finally figured out who I was. And she tried to mouth the word mama. Because she just looked at me. Somebody said, she didn't know who I was. She hadn't seen me close with a mask. But after I talked, when I called her Moo Moo, then she knew who I was. She tried to mouth mama. And my son, he's on the phone. I let him see it. And she looked at her. And he took his mask on. He was talking. She didn't know him. She just looked at him. And then he said, Moo Moo. And then she looked, and then she tried to say Bubba. And he looked at her. And God brought, and I said, you know, she's in the room with all the machines. And they said, we're trying to, you know, win off. So she's doing good. We, you know, she breathing on her own, but at night we put her back on because, you know, her lungs and stuff. But she, he brought her a mile along way. So they gave up on her. They said, I hate to tell you, to put on the vest. She's not going to make it. Because she had double no more. I've never seen that. But he gave me peace. I had peace, and you know, like I said, she's down in the war. She's sitting there looking at TV. They said she's sitting here looking at TV. I said, and Cold War looking at TV. So I said, well, just talk to her, tell her, you know, what you're doing, and tell her Jesus love and I love her. He working with her, God fighting with her, and she calmed down. Because they're giving her mouth and her pressure. I said, yeah, pressure, she's scared. She's trying to wake up and can't. See, she waking up and y'all knocking her back on. She's trying to figure out why. And she can only hear voices. I said, just talk to her. Just tell her what you're doing. And they put it in a note that I said, and they said, she calmed down. Turn on the radio. You got a TV. I said, turn the TV on the cartoon. That will calm her down. So they said, yeah. So they were scared of her blood pressure. And I talked to the doctor. I said, I'm not trying to tell you your business. I said, but that pressure going to go up and they're going to drop you. I'm going to have to try to get it back up. And so he listened. They put in a note. So like I said, I tell people, God gave me a peace, and I didn't worry about what she was doing the whole while. I came home and got in my bed, went to sleep, got up, and, you know, went to the hospital from 2 to 6 to visit. And hey, I'm good. I told her the grass looked greener, the trees were looking better, and everything was smelling. Well, I couldn't smell because I lost my sense of smell. That's when I knew I had a COVID afterwards. They finally figured out the 4 tests I came up negative, and you know, they did the blood, they found out that the doctor said, oh, yeah, you had it. I knew you had it. But, you know, you'd have been through quarantine. But he blessed me. I had a milkshake one day, and I was like, this tastes like cocoa and sugar. And I said to myself, wait a minute. I can't taste, and I can't smell. And I said, he blessed me and gave me that bad, my sense of smell.
Amen. Well, amen. Thank you for sharing that. And do you have any prayer requests?
I got my nephew in North Carolina, his wife, Denise. Well, they said she's a diabetic. They said she had kidney failure in her lungs. So they got her on a ventilator, and they got her on her stomach. Now she had another hospital. Now they said she got COVID. I don't know. All of a sudden she got COVID now. And so praying for her because they got her on Dallas because the other hospital didn't have one, so her kidneys been shut down on her. And so they got her on a machine now to do dialysis. And like I said, I don't think, like I said, with COVID, nobody can go see her, but she's not doing good.
Okay. And what's her name?
Denise.
Okay. So, Father God, we just thank you for your daughter, Denise, Father. God, we even thank you for Junie Mae calling in the scene on her behalf. Father God, you know everything. You see it all, Father God. Father God, we just ask that you be the doctor. Give them the word. Send the angel. Father God, send the angel to go to work on her behalf, Father God. Father God, we just ask that you'll show up, send the Holy Spirit to show up. Father God, we just speak just like you did it for Jennifer, Father God, and performed the miracle. We speak miracles in this situation, Father God, that she ain't going to need dialysis, Father God. We are stepping out on faith and we believing in miracles. We are believing in your miracles. We know you're a God that can do it. I'm telling you, Father God, we speak to the COVID. the virus that's in her body to dry up. We speak to her lungs, Father God. Everything that's clogging up her lungs, the mucus, the phlegm, Father God, we speak that it dry up right now in the name of Jesus. And we just ask that you give the nurses them wisdom of what to do, what to do, what exactly they need to do. They know, Father God, some of them know but refuse to do it. Because I heard a doctor today, I've seen a doctor today saying if a patient come in there and they got COVID and they didn't get vaccine, he's not going to care for them. Now, Father God, you know what is right. You know what is wrong. So anybody's not of you, Father God, we ask that you remove every wicked out these places, Father God. Everyone that's wicked, just remove them, Father God. We believe in that you send the angels. We heard a story where angels came in the hospital looking like doctors. And they perform what they need to perform for that patient. So, Father God, if you got to send the angels in there that look like doctors, do what you need to do, Father God. We just stepping out on faith. You is not a limit, God. You is not a limit, God. You said miracles. You said supernatural, Father God. Do it in this situation. Do it, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Is she married?
Is she married to my nephew?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Father God, we even pray over her husband. Father God, we ask that you give him peace. We come against fear. Father God, I just pray, Father God, that you speak to him, that he will stand, Father God, and trust you and believe in your word, and he will declare and decree your word over his wife, Father God, because there's nothing like a praying husband, and Father God, that he will draw nigh to you, and he will stand on your word, believe in your word, and have faith that you can turn this situation around for his wife. We come against fear. We break the power of fear, Father God. We pray over their family, Father God. We come in agreement. The prayers and already then we know, Father God, that this will be a quick turnaround and that she will be home with her family in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And they not allowed to see her?
No.
Okay. So, Father God, even though he cannot see her, Father God, just let him know that you there, your spirit is there. And, Father God, that even just do what you need to do with him, Father God, to give him that reassurance that you already got everything in your hand. You already got everything in your control. So, Father God, we just ask that he have sweet sleep at night, peaceful sleep at night, Father God. We come against the worry. We come against the anxious. You tell us be anxious for nothing. But, Father God, I don't know how his prayer life is. But, Father God, just ask that he would, you know, raise him up to pray, to be a man that cries out from his heart for his family. And, Father God, any healing and delivering that needs to place, let it be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we thank you for sharing that testimony. Mm. I tell you, when I heard your voice, I was like, wow, this ain't nothing but confirmation. Tell you. I have seen and heard some things that is just so much. It'd be mind blowing.
Oh, yeah.
And other people got to hear it for themselves.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we love you and Jennifer and, you know, that I'm telling you. And enough, you know, as God did it for you and your daughter, you know, he's going to use you for pray for people that's in the same situation that you was in.
Oh, yeah.
To be the mouthpiece. So yes, you intercede for those people that was in the same situation that you was in.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I tell people about it. Plus, she didn't have since she got the hospital system, she didn't have pneumonia twice. And then she just got a hospital a month and a half ago. She ended up with fluid, so so she has congested heart failure, weakened her heart, and so she had so much food, she weighed like 170 pounds. She came out of the hospital, she weighed 138, and now she's weighed 117. She had a whole bunch of fluid. I mean, she couldn't halfway walk, she couldn't have get in the bed in the car. She just out of breath, you know, so her heart is weak. So I'm praying for that to him to strengthen her heart back. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Father God, you know, give her a new heart, Father God.
Oh, yeah.
Anything trying to come against her heart, we take authority over, Father God. The enemy, you know, he try to come out to anything, mm-hmm. you know, to try to shake people's faith. But when God say, mm-hmm. I'm going to do a miracle, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. That's right. And like I tell people, he said he's fighting one, he's still fighting one. I believe it. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, Judah, may we thank you for calling in. Always give us a call. It was nice for you to come on tonight. It was just appointed time for you to come on tonight and share that. Because I'm telling you, I was just talking about you today.
Yeah.
So, amen. Mm-hmm. And God bless you.
Okay. I'm glad, like I can tell somebody to let them know God is still in the healing building. And he'll give you his peace. Just act full and trust him.
Thank you for sharing. God bless you.
Okay, and God bless you too.
If anyone on it would like to share a testimony or like to give a word of encouragement, if you own and you like to come on, press 1 and they will put you in the queue. You press 1, I see your hand up and I'll be more happy to bring you on. 828-989. This is Sister LaShawn Mass who's calling, and where are you calling from?
Hey, LaShawn. This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just love listening to your preaching, and it just gives so much life, and just thank you.
Oh, we give him all the glory. We give him all the glory. I thank God for y'all calling me and listening and asking for prayer, because y'all could have been doing something else. So thank you for being patient and staying online, because some caller dropped the line when Judy was talking. So thank you and God bless you for staying on the line with your hands up.
Yeah.
Is there any prayer requests you have?
Discernment, guidance. There's mm-hmm. some things in my life that I'm not really hearing. I don't think I'm hearing the Lord on. And I'm just needing, guidance for him to show me the path to take.
Now, I want to ask you something. Do you think there's something you're doing that's hindering you from hearing him clearly?
Or are you having
a problem to know if this guy speaking, is I'm hearing him, or are you second guessing yourself or what?
Well, I mean, I'm hearing him for other things. He's speaking very clearly, but the one thing that I'm praying about for direction, and I'm not hearing him, or if it's just me being, because I've, in this area, I've misunderstood him, and it's like I want his will in my life, and I don't want my own will, and I just, when it comes to people in my life, I want to hear clearly, and it's not that I don't doubt him, it's just I've been gaslighted in the past, and all that gaslighting has caused me to question whether I'm hearing him clearly in regards to people, if that makes any sense.
I understand what you're saying. You know, sometimes he probably speaks. Do you read the word all the time, or do you worship?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get to worship and you read the word, because sometimes he speaks through the word. or he might speak worship. The words, you know, when you read his word, or he might speak when you worship him. And we have to know the voice, how God, his ways, he have different ways. That he speak, he have different ways, he show up in our life. We can be riding down the street, and it could be on the billboard or a truck or in a grocery store. I didn't see it happen. I'm telling you, I have seen that happen. He speaks in all different ways. And so what I pray that God, that your daughter would know your voice and know your ways, that she would know how to walk in the ways of you, Father God, the way that you either minister to her, the way you speak to her, even, Father God, when she worship, that she would know, even through her worship, how you're speaking to her. So, Father God, I just add, if there is any hindrance in her life, Father God, let it be exposed. Any hindrance in her life, Father God, that you would speak to her, because a lot of times there can be some things we're doing to hinder our prayers, and there's a lot of hindrance that people don't know. God could have told us to do something, we didn't do it. And it could be simple. He probably, and I always say this, it probably be something with food, you know, something like that. Stop eating this. You know, because I hear, you know, it's something about when you're fasting or you're not eating a certain type of food, sugar and stuff like that, junk, that I heard people saying that they can really hear God's sugar, something about sugar. I even heard Prophet Randy say that as well. I hear a lot of people that, you know, flows in the prophetic, the prophet, watchman. Even intercessor, you have to take care of your body, because the body is the temple and the Holy Spirit dwells inside the temple. And he can't dwell in junk. So that can be one hindrance. It can be walking in disobedience. He could have told you something simple to do, you know, or he told you through a prophet or whoever, a child, and you didn't listen, you didn't obey. That can hinder your prayer. Limitation, you limit yourself. It's just a lot of things that can hinder your prayer. And so if there's any hindrance, I ask the Father to reveal it, and we come against any hindrance. Any hindrance in your life. Any distraction. It could be distraction. Distraction is a hindrance. Something distracting you, something that's pulling you away from God, that he's not getting your fully attention. And he wants you to probably go deeper. He might want you to spend more time with him. You know, he'll let you know. So, Father God, I just thank you for your daughter. And I just ask that you reveal it to her, Father God, that you speak to her in the name of Jesus. Father God, I just ask if there's any hindrance, that those hindrances will be broken. Father God, reveal it to her, Father God, so she will know this is what is going on. If there's distraction, or it could be that she keeping herself so busy or distracted with a certain person that she cannot hear you, Father God, any hindering, any distraction, we ask it to be removed from her life. And Father God, and teach her how to be still, not to be anxious, not to be impatient. When she asks you for things, to trust you, that you're going to come back and give her the answer, not to move too quickly, not switch, you know, don't move too fast. Just wait on God. Just wait on him. It might take a while for him to come back. It might be that you're going through a process where your faith being tested. You know, he's molding you to be still, how to be still so you can hear his voice. If you're a busybody, you can't hear him, because we will begin to be all over the place. So, Father God, I just speak calmness over your daughter. I just speak that she will be anxious for nothing, Father God. I just pray that she will believe whatever she's praying it, that she will believe it, that she will believe it, and she shall receive it. You know, if you ask, it shall be, you should receive it. It shall be given to you. And so, Father God, I just ask that she get into a place where she's at a still place. And if you tell her be still, she'll be still, Father God, and that some of, I don't know if you got too many workload or whatever this is overloading. It's like something is overloading you. That's when, I don't know, that's just what I heard, overloading, that you are overloaded by things. So, Father God, I just think that she will drop the load. Just drop it. Just drop it. And she will drop herself to the feet of Jesus. And Father God, the thing that she's caring to overload herself, that she'll just, you know, just give it to you. Don't overload yourself. Don't overload your mind. Peace in your mind. So this thing that's trying to overload her mind, overloading herself, Father God, we come against it, Father God. Father God, that she, I just speak that she would trust you and trust you totally. That she would give it all to you and get to a place of stillness, and that she would drop the load. Drop the load and say, I'm not picking that up. I'm not doing it no more. I didn't try to do this my way. My way is not working. So I don't want it. I don't want it. Anything hindering me for connected to you, Father God, take it. I don't want it. Take this overload. Take it. I give it to you. I don't want it. Anything that's in me, take it or take it away. I don't want to be hindered. I don't want my prayers to be hindering no more. I don't want to walk in disobedience no more. So I'm just giving it to you. So I just pray that she would know how to give it to you and don't try to overwork herself, overload herself. And then when you get overloaded, overworking, and you say, well, I'm not hearing from God, and he do speak. So, you know, just take some of that load off of you. In Jesus' name. So, Father God, I thank you.
Thank you, Father.
And so I just pray this word had encouraged you and you understand, you know, through the Holy Spirit what he's saying. Don't let things overwork your mind and overload you. Release some of that load. In Jesus' name.
I release it, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah, release your household. Release your household. Release the finance. Release it all. Just say, Lord, I release it all to you.
Yes, I release it all, Lord. I release it all. I take my hands off of everything, Lord. Everything. I give it all to you, Lord. It's surrendering all to you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. So we thank you. Yeah, keep saying I release it all. And start decreeing, doing declaration. Just read the Bible and start reading some Bible verse over yourself. To do a lot of declaring decree over yourself and keep saying it every day.
Okay.
Especially in the book, book of Psalms. Go to the book of Proverbs. And start speaking the words over yourself.
I will do that.
Amen. Well,
amen.
Let's thank you for calling in. And is there anything else?
No, thank you. I know he's speaking now.
Thank you.
He's speaking to you.
Well, you know, just obey and even go and say, Father, I apologize. You know, I apologize. Father, I repent, for trying to do your work and trying to go ahead of you and not be still. Just ask him to forgive you and repent and, just let him lead. Let him lead the way and trust him.
Yes. Yes. trust you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you. Thank you for
Amen.
Making sure. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Well,
thank you
for calling me, and you have a blessed weekend.
You too, LaShawn. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, like I said, we had some callers and they dropped off the line. So if you would like prayer or you have a word, okay, you have someone just put their hands up. If anyone like prayer or you want to give a testimony, okay, that's true. Give a testimony, you like to say a word of encouragement, press 1 on your phone, and they will put you in the queue, and I will blank you on. Okay. 954-580. This is Sister LaShawn. Mansell's calling, and where are you calling from?
Hi, good night. This is Carolyn from Jamaica.
Hey, how you doing, Carolyn? How you doing?
I'm not bad, thank you. God, I'm not bad.
That's good.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Is there a special prayer request you have tonight?
Just pray the Holy Spirit leads you, please.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Lord Father God, we thank you for your daughter, Carolina. And Father God, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for your will, Father God. We speak your will be done in her life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So, Father God, that everything in her household will line up with heaven. Oh, Father God, her body, her mind will line up with heaven. Let it be done in her household. Let it be done in her body, her mind, as it is in heaven. Even upon her job, Father God, let it be done at that workplace as it is in heaven. Is there any confusion in heaven? No, because you're not a God of confusion. If there is no confusion in heaven, there shouldn't be no confusion around her. If there is peace, is there a peace in heaven? Yes, you speak the word of peace. So you, God of peace, let it be done in her body. Let it be done in her household. Let it be done with her family. Let it be done even up on her job, even when she walk. Let your word be a lamp unto her feet, that it will be peace all around her. Breathe peace up on her, Father God. So we just be, let it be done in her household as it is in heaven, that she will give her household as a house of prayer, that she will give her household as a house of worship, that she will give her body to you as a living sacrifice. Let it be done with your daughter as it is in heaven. Oh, my God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, let everything in your house, and that's one thing you want to speak to. Well, Lord, let it be done. Yes, let it be done. I want my household to line up with heaven. I'm going to dedicate my home to you. You come in here and do what you want to do. I'm going to move myself out the way. Let my home line up with heaven. Let it be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Let it be done in my household. Let it be done in my life. I line myself up with your will. I line myself up with your will. I walk in obedience of you. Father God, I dedicate this home. Don't belong to me, but I'm going to dedicate that to you. I'm going to dedicate my home to you as a house of worship. I'm going to dedicate it back to you. So you come in here and have your way. Do what you need to do. In the name of Jesus. Wow. That's awesome. When you let God take over, That's like breaking bread with him. You're going to break bread. That's like breaking bread with him. You're going to eat his word. You're going to sing his word. That's breaking bread with Jesus. That's breaking bread with him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
I pray that this helped you and God show her more about what you're saying tonight, Father God. But I would want that. Let it be done. I want that in my, you know, I want that too. So I thank you, Father God. I thank you. All things, it's good. It's good. So just give it to him. I said, that's what I hear.
Amen.
Yep, that's what I hear. Thank you, Father. Is there anything else?
Yes. I'm trying to learn something, and I don't know, I'm not receiving it as I should, and I really need to garner this information. It's among other things that I'm just putting in the hands of the Lord to ask in his assistance in granting me the wisdom to undertake a few things that I'm praying about. So, and even as it relates to my career, I would like to enhance my career. So, but I'm just not. It's like I'm getting like a mental block at times. And the willpower to pursue what I need to do, it's like I've been just fighting my way through. So I'm just asking for prayer that God will just clear whatever obstacles or hindrances to my progression in that regard. So it will be easier for me, and the transition to another level will be smoother, a smoother journey. Thank you.
The thing that the Holy Spirit just said, that's part of what you asking for when you say, I'm trying to remember how he said it. The Holy Spirit said, let it be done. Yeah, let his will be done as it is in heaven. Let his will. I line up with your will. So it might not be the time in the season yet. That's what you say, let us line up with your will. Let us line up with your plan. It just might not be the plan, not right now, but it ain't not. It's not going to happen. He might need you to be here for just a season, and he might transition you in another season. Don't mean it's not going to happen. He might need to get some things straight. He might need to move some, he probably need to move some people out the way. He might need to get some things right with you. Sometimes God got to, you know, protect us even from things that come against our body. So, and that's going back to what he was saying to you earlier. Even with the career, God know where you need to be in the season. He know where you need to be. So I just ask God, as you dedicate yourself, dedicate your home or however it was said, that he will begin to do a transformation with you, and that he will begin to speak to you in the season exactly what you need to do and where you need to be, that he will give you to the ensurement that, okay, I ain't forgot about you. You at the right place at the right time. I'm going to do this for you. If I said it, I'm going to do it. It will manifest, but just wait a little longer. And I, you know, like the book of Daniel, he heard Daniel's prayers the first time, but it took time. So So I just say, you know, if there's any hindrance, you know, we come against them hindering. There are some prayers that people know, you know, once you know how to pray for yourself, against God, what is hindering me? Is it limitation? Is it lack? What is it? And he'll begin to speak to you about that. Is it me? Is it me? Is I'm the one. I'm not moving. Oh, I'm not being still. Is it myself? Sometimes people don't even like to ask if it's myself. Is it me? And that's what we talk about in the book of Isaiah. Lord, I'm a man with unclean lips. Lord, if it's me, if I'm in the way, show me. If I'm in your way, if I'm the one that's hindering what you got for me, he's going to reveal it. So, Father God, if there's any hindering or anything that, you know, that's blocking, we come against it, Father God, but we ask that you reveal it to your daughter. Make it plain and clear, Father God, that you're going to speak and you're going to let her know. So, Father God, but when you, sometimes he just wants us to, sometimes he will plant our feet to where we can't move. Because remember, he sees ahead. And he's protecting us. Sometimes he'll put, I'm telling you, sometimes he'll put up that wall. And if you keep trying to go, you're going to hit that wall. God sometimes put up a wall because he knows what's behind the wall that's trying to protect you. But, and then when he get ready to move you, he's going to show you. For example, when I was on my job, I was trying to get, you know, get out the department. I was applying for other jobs. And every job that I applied for had an interview. They did not hire me. And do you not know them jobs end up loose? They didn't last long. One even last no more than a month. Them jobs didn't last long. They were effing them jobs. You see what I'm saying? It will block it. It will block it. If I would have got hired on those jobs, I would have been looking for another job less than a month. Within three months to 6 months, because those jobs was, they was excellent that quick. They didn't even last long. So sometimes God no can be a good yes. Remember that. God no can be a good yes. And then he'll come back and remind you the reason why you didn't get that job. This was going to happen. This would happen. This is not where I want you to be at. He'll let you know. Know the ways of God. His ways is not our ways. Amen. You see it, her? I don't know. We lost her. I don't know what happened to the phone. Okay. I think her phone dropped. Okay, because I see zero. Honey. 951-966. This is Sister LaShawn. Miss, who's calling? Where you coming from?
Oh, this is Regina from California. How are you?
Hey, Regina. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I think we lost Carolyn. I didn't hear nothing else from her. Well, how you doing? How's everything going?
I joined late, so sorry about that. It's okay. Well, you know, the issue won't work. So we're able to file some exemptions, so praise God for that.
Amen. Amen. I was talking about you earlier, how God healed your dad for cancer and your mom. So, yeah, sure, how God Yeah, you do the miracles.
I feel good. His last checkup, like everything, well, I told you one tumor had disappeared and then everything else is shrinking. So he's up and making his own coffee. He just had a birthday, his 90th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. Gets up and goes to sit out on the porch in the morning and in the evening by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's God.
Nobody but God.
Yeah. Nobody but God. So praise God for that. Yeah. How can we sound with it? You know?
Do you have a prayer request tonight?
I don't know. Just whatever God puts on your heart.
Okay, Father God, we thank you for your daughter, Regina. Father God, we thank you for resetting her, restoring her, rebuilding her. Father God, putting her feet on solid ground. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for turning things around with her family, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that her faith is getting stronger and stronger. She's starting to see how you work. She's starting to understand more. And, Father God, she's getting hungry and hungry more for you. Continue to feed her. Continue to fill her up in the name of Jesus. I don't know if the Holy Spirit been waking you up at a certain time of night to pray. Have you been doing that?
Yeah, I have been waking up. Yeah.
Mhm. So have you been waking up and not praying, or you?
You know what? I haven't been every night. No.
Yeah, there's.
But
you know,
you're saying that. I've noticed that about 3:30 happened. Yeah.
So you notice at three, around by three something, you waking up, right?
Mhm. I am.
Yes. Okay. Start getting up in prayer. God gonna start speaking to you.
Okay.
Pay attention. He's going to start speaking to you. So that's why I see he's waking you up to pray.
Yeah, I
the
have
Holy
my
Spirit's with. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I have my TV on, so praise and worship music was on. And I was asleep, but I woke up and my hands are, I think my arms are hurting because I had my hands, like, I must have been having my hands up while I was sleeping. And I woke up to the song, and I just got off the bed, got on my knees, because the song was just ministering to me in my sleep. So I woke up,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I was singing along with the song, like, oh, my goodness. And it was about 3:30. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, well, even worship. I hope the Holy Spirit leads you. Just, you know, have your ears clean to whatever the Holy Spirit, just go with the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, I thank you. You can speak it to her in the night season, Father God. And Father God, give her clarification, Father God, and give her understanding in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for your daughter. We thank you for what are you going to do in her life, Father God, this new thing you're doing with her, Father God. So we just say she line up. No, excuse me, line up and follow you, continue to follow you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you. You know, just love on me, keep thanking him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, amen. Yeah. I have noticed that this week, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or even before, yeah.
So
you
should get
about 4:35
for
it. So I've been getting
mm-hmm.
that earlier.
Oh, okay.
That's so true. Yeah.
Well, y'all, we don't have no other caller with their hands up. I think I'm gonna go ahead and end the show because I'm getting kind of sleepy. I think the Holy Spirit is wearing out on me because I've been up since 6 something in the morning and it's 11:13. And then I got to turn it back around and get right back up at 6 something tomorrow. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit is coming down saying it's time for you to get off. Get you some rest.
Yeah.
So there's nobody else with their hands up. We thank you for calling in tonight. I don't know if anyone's going to be on tomorrow, but I just want to ask y'all to be in prayer with us tonight. Our Pastor Ricky, I know Randy talked about it Thursday night. He's in the hospital, and we are believing the report of the Lord. So we just ask y'all to, you know, to keep that family uplifted in prayer tonight. Keep the family. And I was trying to find something that his wife wrote. Let me see if I can find it. See something and pray over it. Okay, so decoration, and this is what his wife wrote, decoration of prayer and faith for Ricky Tyler, written by his wife, Sid. Thank you all for praying this prayer with us, dear friends and family. Here's a scripture prayer that I'm asking those of you who feel led. It's a specific prayer in agreement with me that the last time I spoke to my husband on yesterday morning, he asked me to pray scripture declaration over him. There's power in our agreement. Feel free to add the name of your loved ones. For those who have family members and friends who also need a miracle, Jesus, you promised that if two of us agree on earth concerning anything that we ask, it will be done for us. My Father in heaven, for where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are here in the midst of us. We come boldly to the throne of your gracious God. Because there's Ricky will receive your mercy and will find grace to help him. Now when he needs it the most, Ricky should live and not die to declare your words, O Lord. He should walk out the hospital today completely healed and restored, a new man inside out. No weapon formed against my sweetheart will prosper. His lungs are healthy and strong. His oxygen level was stabilized at 95% and better. His right eye is completely healed and whole in the name of Jesus. His vision is clear, both physically and spiritually. No long-term damage will reside in his body in Jesus' name. For Jesus, who was wounded for Ricky's transgression, he was bruised for his iniquity. The chastisement for Ricky's peace was upon him, and by his stripes, Ricky is already healed. His spirit is sustaining him in sickness. That's Proverbs 18:14. Ricky need not to fear a bad report, for his heart is unshakable since he trusts in the Lord. Our hearts are steadfast. We will not fear. In the end, Ricky will look to and trample over his enemy. Psalms 1:12-8. Let all that we are praising the Lord, may we never forget the good he does for us. He forgives all our sin and heals all our diseases. He redeems Ricky from death and crown him with love and tender mercy. He fills his life with good things. His youth is renewed like an eagle. God, you promise. So shall my word be that go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it, Isaiah 55 and 11. If anyone among you suffer, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elder of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of Jesus. And the prayer of the faith, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he have committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your transgression to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The affected fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. James 5:13-16. The spirit of him who risen Jesus from the dead dwells in Ricky. He who risen Christ from the dead will also give life to Ricky's mortal body through his spirit who dwell in him. Romans 8:11. This was his wife declaring, decreeing. So I just ask that y'all just come in agreement with that. God bless you. Let's see, we got one more prayer. They just hung up, so somebody had their hand up and they just hung up. So we just ask that y'all keep him in your prayers. His name is Ricky Tejada. Keep his wife Sydney in your prayer. Pray for, they got two sons. Pray for the strength of the Lord will be with his wife and his two sons. Pray for the strength of the family. The peace of God be with this family. Even Ricky mom and his sisters and brother. And that God will give the wisdom, even to the physicians, the doctors. God already know what he's doing. So I thank y'all for coming on. I play a song and we will say good night. Remember God with you. So do God. Remember Jeremiah 29.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past.
I'm sorry. Let me take this one call. After this call, we're going to end with a song. 803-991. This is LaShawn.
Hi.
Hello. This is Sister LaShawn. Master's calling. And where you calling from?
Hi, LaShawn. This is Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela. How you doing? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How you doing?
Okay. This is Angela, South Carolina.
Yes, how you doing, Angela? Can you hear me?
Good. Yes, I can hear you.
I don't know, your phone cutting in and out.
Yeah.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay, how you doing tonight?
I'm well, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Is there
I thought I was in the queue earlier, but I guess I wasn't. I heard you get ready to go off. I was like, what happened? Sorry.
Is there a prayer request you have?
Well, I just want to pray if you pray for.
Okay. Well, Father God, we thank you for your daughter. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your daughter, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you for supplying her needs, Father God. I'm hearing provision for you. That's what I'm hearing, provision. I don't know what this provision is, but I'm hearing provision. I just heard the word provision.
Yeah.
Let's see, provision. That's what I just heard.
Yeah, I see it.
So, I'm just trying to see something. Yes, I just heard provision. So far, I'm trying to see if you're going to give me more information on it. More information, but that's what I heard. I'm looking up something. Yeah, I'm looking at something. Let's see. I don't know if you need provision on something that you've been seeking God about.
Pay off some of my bills.
Sure. I'm trying to see these people. Okay. Well, when I look at the definition in the Bible, provision means, you know, anything. God gave these provisions even throughout his scripture. He began to provision through salvation. I'm just trying to figure out what is he saying about the Holy Spirit saying about the provision. Excuse me. Well, for food, land, and shelter to put you on the right path of salvation. But Dave, didn't you say something about bills?
Yes.
Well, Father God, we thank you for the provision that you want her. Give her the right provision, Father God. Even give her wisdom about manage her finance, too. Hold on for a second. But I just looked it up, provision of God for his people or common things throughout the scripture for land, food, shelter, to the right path of salvation.
Yeah.
So, Father God, we thank you for the provision, Father God. Whatever this provision is, Father God, we just ask her, give her the word of wisdom to understand, the wisdom and knowledge to understand what are you saying about the provision. You're going to give her provision how to handle finance right, or you're going to give her provision about something that you're going to give to her that give a clear understanding about it. Whatever it is, Father God, is that you make it clear and plain that she will understand. But even with your finance, I ask him that he give you wisdom and give you clear provision on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has something to do with his divine power and help to give us anything we need, a godly life through the knowledge of him. So, Father God, release the knowledge. Release, give her knowledge. Give her knowledge how to provide food, how to store up on food, how to manage her household, whatever this is. I don't know if you... this thing that you need, if it's finance or you need help in your household, that he'll give you the provision for it. He'll give you the knowledge and wisdom as well. The Lord is your shepherd. Now remember Psalms 23:1, that the Lord is your shepherd. You should not lack anything. That's part of the provision. You should not lack anything. Once you make the Lord your shepherd, you will not lack anything. And if you go to Psalms 132:15, I will bless her with abundant, abundant provision. Her poor, I will satisfy her with food. Go to Psalms 132:15. So it has something to do with your situation that you are in now.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Tom.
I said thank you so much.
Yeah. So Father God, I just asked. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to read that scripture you told me.
Yeah, go to that because write that Bible verse down. But the Lord is your shepherd. You should not lack for nothing. As part of the provision, and, you know, God, you're not gonna grow weary in this season. Don't grow because he's going to give you the provision of on things that things that you are expecting, expectation, start speaking it in your life. Walk in faith and walk in expectation. Watch what you say to. Watch what you say. God, he'll take care. He'll take care. Watch what you're speaking over your situation. Don't speak negative and wrong things over your finance and your situation. Start thanking him. Thank you, God, for the provision. I thank you, God, give me the provision. Even where I'm lacking it, give me the provision. Give me the wisdom. Give me the knowledge and the understanding. That should be the words coming out your mouth in this season. So, Father God, I thank you. I thank you, and we declare and decree that Bible verse over your daughter. And as she read it, Father God, just give her clear understanding of Psalms 132:15. And God bless her basket. And we say that she will line up with your will, and she will line up in the obedience of you, Father God, and see what he do for you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, John.
Well, thank you. You have a blessed weekend.
You too. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, y'all, that's it. I'm gone. I can't even get anything else. I'm gone, and I just believe the Holy Spirit says it's time to get up out of here. So here go your son for the night. We love you. Thank you for calling in, and y'all just have a blessed weekend.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, spirit is made right. Sometimes the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
God, deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me. Turn me, Lord, deliver me, 'cause all I see to do is hurt me.
Yes, sir.
my background sent. God rescue me from myself, from my overthinking. If you're listening out there, just repeat after me if you're struggling with your past and say, let the Lord know. Just say, oh. He wants to restore your soul. Just say, hey, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, seek my faith, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. Break it on down. So it is. It is so. Amen. Now when we pray, we want to end that with a declaration, a decree. So I'm speaking for all of you listening, starting here, starting now. The things that hurt you in the past won't control your future. Starting now, this is a new day. This is your exodus. You are officially released. Now sing it for me, Leandria.